March 11, 2022, Nectar Devotion, chapters 47 and 48 on compassion, anger, fear, and ghastliness.
Self-disparagement was the first of, we're here in the Vyavichari Bhavs. Self-disparagement was one of the first Vyavichari Bhav that Rupa Goswami discussed when he talked about Vyavichari Bhavs in the Southern Ocean. So this is not lamentation for oneself. This is not, oh, I'm such a bad devotee, I have so many problems. We'll see in fear that there's some of this self-disparagement, that, oh, I'm an offender. And we see some of this in an extreme form in ghastliness. Now, we do talk about self-compassion. Self-compassion is treating yourself with kindness. It's not self-disparagement. Okay, we have a chat from Rukmini that Prabhupada says impersonalists end up going into altruism, but that's as a fall down. First of all, the Shanta Rasa devotees are not impersonalists. They may have come from impersonalism. So one category of Shanta Rasa devotees come from impersonalism to personalism, and one category comes from performing austerities to personalism. But Shanta Rasa, it's a rasa. They are in love with the form of the Lord. They are not impersonalists. And when Prabhupada's talking about impersonalisms who go into out compassionate work, so this is, it's a fall down into sattva-gun or sometimes into rajagun. Okay, the sthayi bhav of compassionate rasa, sorrowful love. So, you know, in theatrics, which is the basis by Bhart Muni, if you think about, you know, books and movies, whatever, that make you cry and that you feel sorry for the persons that are involved. You feel sorrowful for them. You could see how this might be connected with Dhanavira, that because you feel sorry, therefore your heroism is aroused. And we will be studying week after next. Next week we have a vacation for Gaur Purnima. A week after next we will be studying which rasas are compatible with each other. Yes, I finished speaking on self-compassion. Self-compassion, again, is encouraging. It's not disparaging. Self-compassion is where you're like, you know, yes, I am loved. Yes, I am taken care of. Yes, I am enough. That's self-compassion. Self-compassion is not self-disparagement. Self-disparagement is, I'm so low, I'm so fallen, I'm so terrible. That's exactly the opposite of self-compassion. If you're feeling sorrowful for someone, you don't tell them how terrible they are. You give them comfort. So self-compassion is comforting. This Karuna Rasa is comforting. It's not disparaging. So Krishna as the object of lamentation. So Rupa Goswami gives two examples of Kaliya, that in general lamenting, and then Yasoda particularly lamenting that Krishna was in the coils of the Kaliya serpent. And Krishna's devotees, Balaram, lamenting that Sankachuta took Krishna's girlfriends. His face became increasingly blue with sorrow. And this I found the most fascinating. So when Lord Brahma apologized to Krishna after stealing the boys and the calves, and then his helmet touched Krishna's toenails. So Narada Muni's meditating on this, and he's feeling great compassion for his impersonalist friends. So his associates, his friends who were impersonalists, how they couldn't know Krishna's toenails. Anyway, we have another example in the sthayi bhav of compassion for one's relatives or one's dear ones. So, of course, Pandu and Madri left this planet without ever having met Krishna. You know, Arjuna and Krishna are contemporaries. Arjuna was born in the forest. Before that, Krishna hadn't appeared. And then Pandu and Madri left their bodies in the forest without going back to Hastinapur. So later, Sahadev, seeing Krishna's footprints, he was filled with sorrow for that his father and mother had never seen Krishna's footprints. Rupa Goswami makes the point that you can have humor without love, but you can't have compassion without love. And the intensity of the compassion one feels is directly proportionate to the intensity of love that one feels. Now, in the category of compassion for Krishna directly, this has to have an unawareness of the Lord's greatness. But this unawareness comes from love, not ignorance. So it's a kind of yoga maya. It's not that you're just a fool. It's that you love Krishna so much in such a high level, you forget his greatness. And Jiva Goswami comments, he says, this realization of sweetness is the most excellent taste or rasa attained through a special type of prema produced from a sadhana possessing such sweetness of emotion. Therefore, the covering of awareness of the Lord's power by realization of his sweetness is actually the highest type of knowledge. And turning against that sweetness through realization of Brahman is ignorance. I thought that was very profound. And Rupa makes the point, as he made previously when he talked about the secondary Staibhavas in the Southern Ocean, that it may appear that this great sorrow is the opposite of happiness, but it produces great happiness. And the example is given, you know, as Ram is the presiding deity of this Karuna Ras, so the Ramayana is full of sorrow. But yet it's very pleasurable to study the Ramayana, and Hanuman is doing it perpetually. Okay, moving on to anger. Parasuram is the deity, presiding deity of anger. So this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.5.1 through 33, the second half of Nectar Devotion, chapter 47. So basic understanding is when Krodha Rati is nourished by Vibhavas, etc., it becomes Rodra Bhakti Rasa. So the Vibhava, we have the Vishaya, and again we have a situation with three Vishayas, not all of whom are Krishna. So one is Krishna, you can be angry at Krishna. One is you can be angry at friendly persons, persons who are friendly to Krishna and friendly to oneself. You can also be angry at those who are unfriendly to Krishna or unfriendly to oneself. So these are the three Vishayas, three objects of Krodha Rati. So why would one be angry at Krishna? So when Krishna cheats a young girl or regarding Krishna's improper behavior. Why would you be angry at people friendly to Krishna? When they're inattentive to protect Krishna, when they rashly send Krishna into danger, or when they're angry at Krishna without cause. Why would you be angry at people unfriendly to Krishna when they interfere with your relationship with Krishna or where they are enemies of Krishna? So this is the explanation of the three Vishayas. And the Ashrayas. So there's two different categories. So those who are the Ashrayas for anger at Krishna are mostly women. So these are either the Sakis or the elderly women. And as far as anger with the object of friendly or unfriendly, that can be anybody. I have a picture here of Nanda being swallowed by the snake and the cowherd man being angry at the snake. Okay, an example of the Sakis' anger at Krishna. Radha, why were you so much in love with the lusty cowherd Krishna covered with so much deceit? An example of older women being angry with Krishna when they see him associated with young women. Oh, you thief of young girls' properties, I can distinctly see the covering garment of my daughter-in-law on your person. So, of course, these older women are also filled with rati for Krishna, with love for Krishna. So this is an anger based on their love. Okay, looking further at Ashraya. So those who become angry at friendly persons, there's three different times, as we mentioned. So inattention in protecting Krishna, rashness at taking Krishna into dangerous situations, or jealousy that makes them unnecessarily angry at Krishna. We'll look at each of these in turn. So this is an ashraya again. This is a devotee who's the shelter of anger at an inattentive, friendly person. So an example is when Rohini gets angry at Yasoda because Mother Yasoda tied Krishna up between those trees and put him in danger. She was inattentive. She didn't notice that the trees were loose. Then an ashraya, example of an ashraya, devotee who's the shelter of anger. Again, the ashrayas are impetuses. So for one's own feeling of anger, So an impetus is a shelter of anger at a reckless friendly person. So Yasoda was angry at the cowherd boys when she heard that they had taken Krishna into the Taliban forest. And again, we're in the category of Ashriya, a devotee who's the shelter of anger at a jealous friendly person. So an example of this is one of Radharani's friends who says, "Oh Radha, go away. I'm burning up just being near you. Though the peacock feather in Krishna's hair touched your toes when he bowed down with you, you were still red-faced with anger." All right, then Ashraya categories of being angry at unfriendly persons. So again, this is when we would feel this anger rasa, these devotees are our inspiration. So an example is the elderly gopis being angry at Akura taking Krishna from Vrindavan. And then with enemies of Krishna, those who were angry at Shishupal in the Rajasuya Yajna act as Ashrayas, or the shelter of anger. And Udipanas are sarcastic laughs, deceptive speaking, frowns, and disrespect expressed by Krishna, enemies of Krishna, and by friendly persons. What are the Anubhavas? Rubbing of the two hands, clacking the teeth, rapid breathing, lowering the head, clamping of the lips, moving of the eyebrows, flinging the arms, uttering of strong words, nodding of the head, glancing with hostility, yellowness in the eyes, trembling lips. Sattvika bhavas, all of them are there. Vyavichari bhavas, great emotion, bewilderment, pride, frustration, illusion, carelessness, jealousy, dexterity, negligence, and fatigue. Looking at the sthayi bhava. So angry love is the basic connection, and it has three flavors of the sthayi bhava depending on the vishaya. All right. I spent a lot of time trying to understand this, and I'm going to do the best that I can. So there's, Rupa gives three types, kopa, manyu, and rosha. So kopa is the type of sthayi bhava, or the type of rati one has if your vishaya is unfriendly people. This comes from the Sanskrit word kup, which is used in the context of anger in general, krodha. Manyu, its main meaning is lamentation, but its secondary meaning is anger. Manyu is used in, again, lamentation, dainya, and anger. Then rosha comes from the word rusha, which is used in the concept of himsa, giving trouble to others. That I got with help from Hari Parshad, and then David Bukta helped me with the following. He says here that Rupa is following Simha Bhupala. So Simha Bhupala expanded on the work of Bharat Muni. He said that Bharat Muni's treatment of this is rather simplistic. For Bharat, these things might be translated as rage. Kopa may be translated as rage, and is really focused on demons. Simha Bhupala appears to have a lot to say about the sthayi bhava side of this. And the whole thing of dividing the sthayi bhava into three comes from him. However, he, instead of breaking krodha into kopa, manyu, and rosa, he breaks it into krodha, amarsha, and rosa. And he doesn't seem to ultimately undercut rosa, which Rupa Goswami does. That's for all you technical people. All right, now Rupa asks whether this is a secondary sthayi bhava or vyavichari bhava, because there are three vyavichari bhavas that are related to these three sthayi bhavas. So ogra, ferocity directed to enemies, amarsha, indignation or impatience, amarsha means not patient, directed to friends, and asuya, fault-finding, romantic jealousy directed to the lover. So there are three very, very similar vyavichari bhavas. Then Rupa Goswami undercuts the rosha aspect, and he says that, which is the anger at Krishna, the sthayi bhava, the anger of Krishna, and he says, for the women lovers who are filled with madhurya ras, anger called rosha directed to Krishna is not a sthayi bhava. It's a vyavichari bhava. Now, for the lover's friends and for the lover's older women, when they're angry at Krishna, it's a sthayi bhava in rodra rasa, and it is rosha. Now, the anubhavas of kopa, which is the sthayi bhava when it's directed at enemies, is like wringing the hands. And an example is Balaram being angry at Jarasandha. He had eyes like burning coals, and he glanced at its plow, capable of devouring the flesh of a multitude of enemies, when Jarasandha was insulting Krishna. Okay, going to Manyu. This is anger at friends. Anubhavs will be silence and so forth. Right, well, sometimes when you're angry at your friends, you just don't say anything. There's an example of Manyu against friendly people who are elders, Radha de Purnamasi. When I shout to call someone, Krishna covers my mouth. When I try to flee, he blocks the path. When I bite my lower lip, he falls at my feet repeatedly. Please tell me how I can protect myself from Krishna. Manyu, which is against friendly persons with equals. Jatila says, ugly face Mukhara, hearing your words, the core of my life is burning up. And Mukhara says, oh Jatila, hearing your words, my head is burning up. Tell me, fool, when did Krishna arrogantly touch my granddaughter? Okay, Manyu, which is friendly people against inferiors. An example was Jatila. She was angry at Radha's Sakis, who were her inferiors, when she saw them quickly taking off a pearl necklace from Radha that Krishna had given, or Krishna's necklace. And she says, ah, this girl, a black sprout in my family, is cheating me with duplicity. Okay, Anubhavas of Rosha are like the eyes turning pink. And Rupa Goswami says that it may not be clear when there's anger amongst friendly persons, and they are angry at Krishna, they're angry at, you know, it may not be clear, love for Krishna may not be clear, it may not appear that they're having love for Krishna, but it is there. And the nature of anger and love is that the anger of enemies, so Shishupal's anger at Krishna, is not a rasa. All right, any questions on compassion or anger? Don't have much time, but any questions? You can take one or two questions on either compassion or anger. Okay, well, if there's no questions, we will move on. To what Prabhupada calls dread, or also fear. Dread implies that it's anticipatory. So Prabhupada uses the word dread, but I've also put the word fear, because fear is in the present. Dread is more something, thinking of something in the future. All right. This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4:6:1-16, Nectar Devotion, Chapter 48, First Half. So basic understanding, as Rupa gives all the time, when Bhayarati is nourished by Vibhavas and other elements, it becomes Bhayanika Bhakti Rasa. Now here is where we have the self-disparagement that I've offended the Lord. So one is afraid that I've done something wrong, and the other is afraid that Krishna is going to be hurt. Those are the two types. So vibhava, so we have the first type, where one is afraid that one has offended Krishna. Krishna is the cause. In that case, the ashraya, where one is afraid that one has offended Krishna, our servants or sons who commit offenses to Krishna. Of course, it could be others as well. But there's usually some reverence here. You know, I'm going to get in trouble with Krishna. Krishna is going to be angry with me. So it's mostly, the ashraya is mostly subordinates. An example of fear is with Jambavan. When Rikshiraj was fighting Krishna, and then he realized, oh, Krishna's God. And then Krishna said, recover your composure. You've not committed any offense. In displaying your valor mixed with anger, you have served me greatly with this sporting fight. Another example of fear due to offense was Kaliya. When Kaliya realized that Krishna was God, he became very frightened of how he had offended Krishna. Or the second type again, is when one is afraid that someone else is going to hurt Krishna. So here the demons are the cause instead of Krishna. So the demons are acting as the Vishaya. And there's three examples. So seeing enemies of Krishna, hearing about enemies of Krishna, or remembering about enemies of Krishna. So an example of seeing is Yasoda. She says, "O Nanda, protect this restless child by keeping him within the house. Keshi demon is agitating my mind as well as the earth. See, he's jumping over the trees." An example of the Vishaya of hearing about demons. So hearing that Keshi had entered Gokula with anger, Yasoda became alarmed to protect her son, and her lotus-like face dried up. Or remembering. Now this has some significance because the secondary sty bhavs, as opposed to the Vyavichari bhavs, leaves a permanent impression, whereas the Vyavichari bhavs don't. So although Putana is gone, Yasoda, she's talking to a friend, and she's remembering, and she says, "Quiet, stop talking about Putana, who came to eat my son, deceiving me and making frightful sounds. Just remembering her makes my body tremble." So the Ashraya here are the devotees who are afraid for Krishna's safety. So again, these are stimulants for others in this fearful ras. When they meditate on those who are afraid for Krishna's safety, they also feel stimulated in their fear for Krishna's safety. So Udipana, frowns and other threats in the object of fear. So seeing, hearing about, or remembering these objects of fear for Krishna acts as the Udipana. Okay, Anubhav for the fear rasa in general, for either of these: drying up of the mouth, heavy breathing, glancing behind oneself, concealing oneself, bewilderment, searching after the endangered lovable object or looking for shelter, and crying very loudly. So sattvika, all except tears. Rupa says there's not crying in this fear rasa. Vyavicharis are alarm, death-like symptoms, unsteadiness, illusion, forgetfulness, agitation, depression and grief, confusion, expectation of danger. So again, this very much goes with, you know, feeling, oh, I'm an offender. Staibhav. So the basic connection is fearful love arising from offenses or scary beings. And I put this picture, a gopi watching Krishna with Kaliya. So Kaliya, who has this fear of his offenses, and this resident of Vrindavan, who's afraid for Krishna's safety. Now Rupa points out that fearful love due to offenses, here we have Jagai and Madai, only arises in those who knows Krishna's kindness. But the fear of demons can arise in any devotee, but it especially arises in women and small children. And for these fearful demons, or fearful enemies, it doesn't have to be a demon, they can have a fearful form like Putana, they can have a fearful nature like Kamsa, or one can be afraid because of their great powers with Indra or Lord Shiva. Like, you know, Krishna has these battles. Indra is attacking Vrindavan, Lord Shiva is in a battle with Krishna. And again, Rupa Goswami makes the point that he makes several times that demons like Kamsa feared Krishna, but they have no rati, and therefore there's no fear rasa here. They don't have ecstatic dread in devotional service. Okay, going on to our last secondary staibhav is Matsya, is the presiding deity because he's involved with destruction. Or Lord Buddha can be considered the presiding deity because he showed disgust with material life, right? He left his wife and newborn son out of disgust with material life and took up renunciation. All right, ghastliness is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.7.1 through 14, chapter 48, second half. So basic understanding is attachment for Krishna because of feelings of disgust sometimes presents a ghastly ecstasy in devotional service. So he does not give a vishaya, he goes right to an ashraya. And the ashraya for this disgust ras is usually the type of shanta bhaktas, the type of neutral bhaktas who've performed austerities, not the shanta bhaktas who were impersonalists. they're very neutral. But the Shanta Bhaktas who came from austerities. Another ashraya for this ghastliness can be those in Dasya Bhav who are in the ashrita category. So those who are surrendered to the Lord as protector to gain freedom from fear, who were previously jnanis and they're surrendered to the Lord to gain knowledge. This is a review. Or they're fixed in service, appreciating the Lord's sweetness. So they're interested in service. Their interest in liberation is to serve the Lord. So another explanation of these three types of devotees, previously in sense gratification, previously interested in liberation, or fixed in the Lord from the beginning. So these people can also be the shelters of this ghastly rasa. So an example of how a devotee could be the shelter of the ghastly rasa. Again, the shelter means they're a kind of impetus to others. So when one feels ghastliness, one's inspired by these devotees. So persons formerly interested solely in the matter of lust and sense gratification, now chanting the names of Krishna with tears, and now when they think of lust, they wrinkle the face, become rigid and spits. And we can think of that even in our own devotee sangha, that we might see somebody who, or hear from somebody who was really involved in sense gratification, and now they love Krishna, and they're disgusted at their former life, and that may be an impetus for us to also feel this ghastly rasa. So the Anubhavas are spitting, distorting the face in disgust, covering the nose, washing the hands, and running. Sattvikabhavas are just quivering, horripilation, and perspiration. Vyavichari bhavs, shame, exhaustion, madness, illusion, frustration, humility, self-pity. This is the self-disparagement. Restlessness, eagerness, and inertia. So we see that the kind of lamentation at one's own fallen nature can be part of this ghastliness. The sthayi bhav. So there's two basic sthayi bhavs. So if you have at least a little rati for Krishna, this would be somebody who's a sadhaka. And you have some discrimination and you contemplate the nature of illusion. This would be, again, Raganuga Sadhaka. And you feel disgust at the nature of illusion or in all types of devotees. Now, this is interesting. This is really interesting. That all types of devotees, if they have some love for Krishna, they'll feel this disgust rasa. Again, it's an ecstasy because it's coming out of love from impure and foul-smelling objects. Right? So from discrimination, when a person develops attraction for the Lord, how can he be attracted to this body made of flesh, smelling of raw meat, composed of thick blood, and covered by skin? And then another example is a child in the womb. I am suffering so much because of this material body. I am trapped within a mess of blood, urine, and liquid stool within the womb of my mother. I am suffering great pangs, therefore, O divine ocean of mercy, please be kind to me. I have no ability to engage in your loving devotional service, but please save me. I want to really, really emphasize. I want to really emphasize this is not aversion, it's an ecstasy. This is not aversion. It's not the Tyaga side of Bhoga Tyaga. It's not aversion. It is an ecstasy of love. It's stemming from love. Another common example of lust is we have been thrown by the wicked king into this prison, the summation of all hells, which destroys vision with piles of stool from sick humans lying in a yard infested with terrible worms whose stink makes the nose unsteady. O destroyer of hell, remembering you, we maintain our lives. Now, this, again, I thought was important, that there is nourishment of all the primary ratis, although disgust is generally felt by one in the neutral ras or in a certain kind of dasya bhav, that any devotee who has rati for Krishna in that love can feel disgust at small amounts of unwanted things. So at meat-eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. But I was thinking even like Srila Prabhupada, you know, when he saw unclean bathrooms, at the temple, he would be disgusted because he loves Krishna. Because he loves Krishna. If we're not disgusted by, you know, filthy, impure things in Krishna's temple, where's the love? Interesting thought, right? Little summary of the secondary ratis. So Rupa also seems to be, you know, he seems to feel, although he puts a lot of attention into these secondary ratis, both in the Southern Ocean and practically all of the Northern Ocean, he says, well, maybe they're not really such a thing. The secondary ratis, maybe they're Vyabhichari bhavs. So it's like he's not quite sure, does he agree with Bhart Muni or not on this? And this was also a help I got from David Bukta, that the meaning of sti bhav, whether primary or secondary sti bhavs, by Bhart Muni is quite different from that of Rupa. So Bhart Muni's understanding is, you know, in a literary work, a poem, a novel, a drama, the sti bhav means what is the emotion that stays for the whole work, or for an episode, or a chapter. You know, like the genre, you could say, of a book or a movie, is it, you know, heroic? Is it romantic? Is it compassionate? You know, what is the overarching, you know, you go to a bookstore, or you go to look at a movie review, it'll tell you, you know, here's the romance books, here's the heroic books, right? Or this is whatever, you know, here's a dramatic movie, here's an action movie, here's a romantic movie, here's a comedy movie, TV show, whatever. So that would be the sti bhav, but Rupa understands sti bhav as the permanent situation of love within the devotees. And again, the secondary sti bhavs are stable only in relation to the primary rati and in the sense of leaving lasting impressions. All right. So are there questions about fear and ghastliness? So any questions about fear and ghastliness? Prabhupada Priya.
So is it that the Vishaya for ghastliness is always some disgusting thing? It's never Krishna or the body of Krishna or...
Yes. It's interesting you bring this up. In fact, ghastliness is the only sti bhav, primary or secondary, where Krishna is never the object. You never discuss it to Krishna. So it's the only one.
I had another question. Is it that the Shanta Bhaktis who perform the austerities, why would that lead them to having this Jugupsa Rati?
Because their austerities, it gets them in this mood of disgust. That's why they're doing their austerities. Very combined. You know, that they're giving up things. Now, they may at first give up things in a mood of aversion. But as they develop love for Krishna, that transforms into an ecstatic disgust. We have to be very, very careful. I mean, some of you may be siddhas, but at least those of us who are sadhakas, or like me, I'm aspiring to be a sadhaka, we have to be very, 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 very careful that we don't mistake aversion for the ghastly rasa. We have to be extremely careful. Or that we don't try to have sense control through aversion. Aversion is just another side of attachment. If you think of it, you know, if I'm holding something close to me, I'm attached. If I'm holding it far away from me, I'm averse. But in either case, I'm still holding it. And aversion is just as damaging as attachment. In fact, it can be more damaging, because it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. It looks like a ghastly rasa, but it's not. We've seen this. You know, I know of so many former sannyasis whose all they ever talked about was how terrible women in householder life were. You know, that's all that came out of their mouths. And they were always, you know, yam yam vapi saram bhavam. You get whatever you meditate on. So they're meditating on how terrible women in householder life are, and they're meditating on that, and so they become attracted to it. In ghastliness, one is meditating on Krishna, and in meditation on Krishna, one naturally just feels disgust for things that are averse to Krishna, whether in oneself or in the world. But it's ecstatic. It's an intense ecstatic experience. Any other questions on fear or ghastliness?
This Yamanacharya would be like a classic example of this.
Yes. But again, this does not mean the brahmacharis and sannyasis go around spitting on all the women. I mean, I was in a temple where that happened, actually. You know, I was in a temple where the brahmacharis would spit on the married men and the women. I mean, it was so extreme. Gopal Krishna Maharaj at that time was a householder, and he worked at a job in an advertising agency, and the brahmacharis would spit on him. And they would not allow him to give class. And then after Prabhupada wrote that letter saying that Gopal Krishna was qualified to be head of Spiritual Sky or GBC of India, but he didn't want him to quit his job because his job was important service. And he was worked on the advertising for Pepsi Cola and hair dye. Then all of a sudden the devotees started treating him with respect, but it was quite intense. All right, any other questions on fear or ghastliness? How, what example? The example I just gave was aversion, not ghastliness. Where people had aversion.
It couldn't be seen such a thing.
Oh, how did they think it was ghastliness? They thought they were doing it out of love for Krishna.
No, but a devotee who would see someone behaving in this way, that's a it would not be how poor persons, how they think this is service when it's not.
Well, then that's karunaras. That's not ghastliness, that's karunaras. That's compassion. I mentioned, I think, instead of having a breakout room because we're really low on time, so had they not heard of Vaishnava etiquette in Aparad, I'm sure they'd heard of it. Now I forgot completely what I was going to say. Maybe Krishna doesn't want me to say it. Cannot. It's completely gone. Okay. Apohanam cha. All right. Anything, Vinata?
I have a question, but not on this last, but from before. Is it okay now?
Sure. I mean, this is the end of all of the secondary stibabs. We have 4 minutes. So if anybody has any question, we can take in these 4 minutes. As again, I had a breakout room plan, but I don't think we have time. So any question on any of the secondary stibabs?
So I wanted to ask about this Karuna Rasa. It looks like that... from Anubhavas, that it's not very active, while Dhanavira or Dharmavira is more active.
I agree.
So would Prabhupada's work be considered more Dhanavira than more Dhyavira?
Yes, although it could be a mixture. It could be a mixture. Again, what we'll discuss in 2 weeks is the friendly and unfriendly mixtures. Uh-huh. And I mean, just logically, one can see that being filled with compassion and then being moved to be charitable would be very compatible. But just being filled with compassion, come on. I mean, if you're lamenting, are you active?
No.
No. You're just sitting around lamenting.
Yeah.
Oh, Krishna's in Kali. You know, you just lament it.
And we just thought when we were speaking about like Dhanavira, a nice example I think could be nowadays this Parashuram from UK. He's distributing this
Free
meals for Ukrainian refugees in Poland. So it kind of fits nicely into this category.
Yes, very, very good example. Very good example. And you know, altruism is in this Dhanavira if it's done out of love for Krishna, not to be a pious person.
Yeah, which in this case, I mean, it's obvious.
Well, to those of us who know Parasuram Das, yes, it is obvious. Yes. He's an incredible, incredible, incredible devotee. For many, many years, he would only sleep one day a week. So 6 days a week, he would sleep for 20 minutes at a time, 20 minutes total. So for every 6 days, he'd sleep only 20 minutes total, and then on the seventh day, he would sleep for 8 hours. I don't know if he still does that for many, 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 many years. Because I would see him doing all the... I asked him. I said, how do you do this? How do you do this, you know, food for all and Harinam? I mean, I would see him, and always energetic. Again, this Dhanavir is a rasa of energy, of enthusiasm, utsaha. How do you do this? I said, when do you sleep? He said, well, I don't. He said, I only sleep 20 minutes a day. And I'm like, always? He said, well, once a week I have to sleep for 8 hours. How long have you been doing that? At the time I asked him, which was many years ago, he said, oh, I don't know, like 8 or 10 years. So he's not on the ordinary, not on the platform of ordinary mortals like me. I just want to remind everybody that next week for Gaur Purnima, there will not be a class, so we have a 1 week break. And after that, for those of you who are not in the United States, or for those of you who are in parts of the United States that do not observe daylight savings time, like Arizona and Hawaii, the time will change. So if you are on the U.S. East Coast, it will be the same time. If you are not in the United States or maybe Canada observing daylight savings time changing this weekend, it will be a different time. It will be different by an hour. So it's going to be the same time for me, but it's not going to be the same time for all of you. So that will be for our last two classes on the mixing of rasas and the semblance of rasas, a very fascinating and intricate topic. You'll have to figure that out. I'm not going to try to figure it out, because if I try to figure it out, I'm going to get it wrong, and that would be very sad. So the only way I trust figuring out these time things is I go to some kind of program or some kind of app, because I work in multiple time zones for decades, and I have become very hesitant at doing the calculations myself. I will, if I do that myself, I often go in the wrong direction. So time and date, Rukmini's put up, is a very good program. I have an app on my phone which does a convert. So it will be the same time on the U.S. East Coast. So it will be 5:30 a.m. Yes, wait until Monday. Yes. The time for us changes on Sunday. So again, this is applicable for those in the U.S. who do not change time, like Arizona and Hawaii, and it's applicable for any of you in India, where you never change the time, and in Europe, where you change the time later. I know in India, where you don't even have time zones at all, that you only have one time zone for all of India, these things are like, they're almost inscrutable for those of you who've never left India. Or if any of you are in China, where you have one time zone, these things are just like, they just don't even make sense at all. It's just like, what are they talking about? But you will need to do that, otherwise you'll either be an hour early or an hour late. Okay, thank you very much. Whatever good you have found in me is due to Srila Prabhupada and all my teachers, and whatever bad you have found in me is me. Please take up the good, and please do not take up the bad. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Rupa Goswami ki jai. All right.